In the Chaos Auto Kitchen, I'm Steve Garner, and we're delighted to have you here on this beautiful Saturday morning. Radio rocks out like nothing else. About 11 years ago, must have been about 11 years, we heard about a new meat company here in Santa Rosa that really was going to change the way that people were able to purchase and be educated about meat. It was called the Sonoma Meat Company, right in downtown Roseland area. And Ryan and Janine Wren were the proud owners of that. And every year since then, we have featured them on the show at least once or twice a year. And every year around this time, they have a wonderful anniversary celebration. And today is the day. They don't do a lot of publicity about this. So if you're listening to the show today, we're really glad you are listening, because you're about to hear about the 11th anniversary of Sonoma Meat Company. Good morning, Ryan.
Hey, Steve, what's going on, man?
Oh, we're doing fine. You couldn't have picked a more beautiful Saturday morning to have an anniversary.
I know. Well, I chose it. You know, I looked at the almanac. I've been really relying on the weather for my information these days. And, you know, it's so accurate that I was able to pick it perfectly.
Would you give us a little capsule summary of how you started and what was your vision for Sonoma Meat Company?
Well, Sonoma County Meat Company was founded by my wife and I in 2014. We vowed to provide unparalleled meat processing for Sonoma County and the North Bay, and we've been doing that. We have a little retail shop to give back to the community, so they have access to all the fine meats that this wonderful, beautiful land has to offer, and we've been doing it ever since. You know, we have 78 types of sausage. We got a line of marinated meats. We make 6 different types of bacon, and it's all made by us, in-house, by us and our amazing staff.
Well, you did something that was quite different 10, 11 years ago, and that was offer ranch, custom ranch processing from ranchers.
Yeah, that was what we saw. We were looking at the wonderful meat that's produced here around here locally, and there was no way for people to really get it and have that in a way that was both safe and delicious and made under USDA processing inspection, which kind of sets us apart.
Yeah, that was different. Can people bring game to you that they bring in a wild boar or something like that?
We do that, too. We do that, too. We want to make sure that everybody has access to all the good, fine types of sausage that we make that make their meat taste even better than they already have it.
So, where you're located, it was kind of a little wasteland down there in Sebastopol.
Yeah.
I mean, it was. Now, it's a really happening spot, because almost directly across the street from you is the new Metote Food Park.
That's right. I mean, we were here when it was a bare lot next to us, and people would drive their, tanks around there, and there was all kinds of riffraff. But now we got Tia Maria's across, Metote's down from us. You know, Hobo Wine's right around the corner. We're doing our best to kind of make this a hub.
Yeah,
that was the idea, right?
You got a cool little bakery across the street now, too, don't you?
That's right. That's right.
Mexican. Yeah, beautiful Mexican bakery. So tell us the particulars of today's big celebration.
Okay, well, it's our 11-year anniversary. We have hot dogs, house-made hot dogs, kind of a new product that we've been working on down here at Sonoma County Meat Company. You get those for $5, and you can get a beer. All the proceeds are donated to the outside SR, I believe is what it's called. Yeah. Santa Rosa, Urban Arts Partnership. I always just call it Outside Springs Group. She's the head of it. And then we, at 2 o'clock, we have a porchetta, basically, our own version of it, which is a whole pig. We bone it out, we stuff it and roast it, smoke it, and then re-smoke it again. And we'll cut that up at 2 o'clock prompt. In the meantime, come on down, have a beer, drink some cider. We have a little bit of cider here. And have a good time with us. You know, we want to reach out to you. Are you going to come down and visit us?
I'm going to do my dangdest if I can get out of here at 12 o'clock, 12:15, 12:30.
We're located at 35 Sebastopol Avenue, just east of the railroad tracks on Sebastopol Avenue, which is Sebastopol Road turns into Avenue if you just keep driving east. Come on down. We'd love to see you.
You got any specials today to save me a little money?
specials today.
Yeah.
We have butifarra in the case, which is what we usually cut or usually cook. And then we have these hot dogs on special. So come on down. Yeah.
I love it. All right. Okay. The party starts at what time?
The party starts at 11. So
oh,
10
now.
Minutes ago.
Okay.
Yeah. Come on down. The water's warm.
Okay. So if you're in that part of the county, if you're heading to or from along Highway 12, just get off at Dutton. Go up to Sebastopol, to go left down Sebastopol Avenue. And on your left-hand side, well, you'll see where all the cars are parking. And there's probably some smoke coming up, too, isn't there?
Oh, you know. Oh, absolutely.
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 You'll find
everything's made in-house.
You'll find Sonoma Meat Company, Sonoma County Meat Company. Congratulations, Ryan, and also to Janine for weathering the storm, everything else that has been going on in the economy, and making this a really vital part of Sonoma County culinary community.
Well, thank you.
You bet. Have a ball.
You too.
Ryan Wren from Sonoma Meat Company. Nice to continue to be able to support him. Why don't we take a quick break, and we're going to meet a very special woman who's written a very special cookbook. In the KSRO Kitchen, I'm Steve Garner. Back right after these messages.
It's personal, and it's your choice. You've contemplated cosmetic surgery for a long time. Maybe it's cosmetic breast surgery, a reduction, lift, or augmentation. Or maybe you wanted smart lipo body contouring for a long time. Dr. Tom and his caring staff understand your concerns are personal and confidential.
It is personal. We take our time and walk you through the whole process. Our philosophy, you, the patient, are part of the surgical team. That's why we include you in the decision-making process.
How do I get started?
It's easy. Just call our office. Our wonderful surgical liaison will listen to your concerns and arrange for a virtual or in-office consultation.
Dr. Tom, you use local anesthesia for cosmetic surgery?
Yes. Local anesthesia is safe and well-tolerated by our patients. You can actually have breakfast the day of your surgery, and you will appreciate the quicker recovery with less discomfort.
Voted best cosmetic surgeon of Sonoma County 8 years in a row. Call Dr. Tom for a complimentary consultation online at drtomcosmetic.com.
Starting your own business can be challenging, and Exchange Bank is here to help. Hi, I'm Dorothy Rodella, branch manager at Exchange Bank, where we invest in Sonoma County. That means helping local businesses to get started and keep growing. Exchange Bank can make all the difference when you're getting a new business off the ground and as you meet the challenges along the way. Here's Lawrence from Faircrest Market.
When we took over Faircrest Market, we tried out a large multinational bank, but we quickly realized we needed a more personal touch. Local people who understand our business and can make decisions right here in our community. It didn't take long to realize Exchange Bank was the solution we were looking for, and their focus on giving back to the local community aligns perfectly with our own company values.
If you own or are starting a small business, Exchange Bank is here for you. Visit exchangebank.com for more information. Exchange Bank, investing in Sonoma County since 1890. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 643948. All loans are subject to credit approval.
Country Summer, June 27th, 28th, and 29th at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds with Saturday's lineup headlined by Kane Brown.
Love country music.
Along with Mitchell Tenpenny.
Truth about you.
Sam Hunt headlines Friday and Dustin Lynch Sunday on the Chevy Silverado stage. Brought to you by Bud Light, Tito's Handmade Vodka, Friedman's Home Improvement, Herradura Tequila, Sonoma Clean Power, and Jack Daniels. Live freely, drink responsibly. On sale now at countrysummer.com.
Maum Fireplace Center, proud sponsor of the Golden State Warriors for over 10 years. Maum Fireplace Center in Santa Rosa has manufactured their own freestanding wood-burning fireplaces since 1960. Find your flame at Maum Fireplace Center, 369 Yolanda Avenue. On the web at maumfireplacecenter.com. Maum Fireplace Center, we satisfy your burning desires.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
In the KSRO Kitchen, I'm Steve Garner. Welcome to the Chaos Auto Kitchen. 38 years and counting, the longest running radio food show in America, I'm very proud to say. John Ash has the morning off, so I'll be soloing it with our special guest, Keanu Moju. So did I pronounce your name correctly?
You did.
I usually always ask the guest, because I've mispronounced names without preparing properly, assuming someone's name. So Keanu is an African name?
So I'm named after my mom's mom, Keanu, who's from Kenya. And then Moju comes from my dad's side, from Nigeria.
So different. How far are those countries from each other in Africa?
Opposite ends of the continent. So Kenya sits on the east coast, just like right under the Horn, and Nigeria is on the west coast of Africa.
And are the cuisines drastically different?
Also very different. I think especially for my family, because my mom, they live on a mountain, they're cattle ranchers, and then my dad's family are river people. So lots of seafood, lots of fish, where I don't think fish is allowed in my grandma's kitchen.
Oh, she's really anti-seafood?
It's Maasai people do not do seafood.
Okay, that's hard. I'm trying to absorb this. One whole group of people does not eat seafood.
Yeah, we're pastoralists, so we raise our animals. It's cow, it's goat, it's sheep, occasionally chicken.
No pork?
But no.
No pig?
No pig. The town my mom grew up in has a lot of Middle Eastern influence. The town is called Sultan Hamoud, so there is no pork to be found in that town.
Interesting. Well, after I was reading the cookbook for a while, I realized how many influences there are in African cooking, especially references to Indian cuisines, and also techniques, chapati and other types of dishes you wouldn't normally associate with African cuisine.
Within the continent, there's so many layers, but Kenya in particular sits on the east coast on the Indian Ocean. So there's a couple of reasons why you'll find similarities between Kenyan and Indian food. One is just geographical. With ocean, you have trade, and the coast of Kenya on the port, the biggest port is Mombasa. You're having, for centuries, people trading their spices all along those countries. So within the Middle Eastern countries, East African countries, and South Asian countries, there's a shared use of spices and cooking techniques shared over centuries. But also during colonial era, England brought Indian rail workers to build the railway from the coast to the capital, Nairobi. So you have two layers of influence of why you'll see similarities with that food.
Did your mom experience those type of cuisines growing up? Indian cuisines?
Some
chapatis
of them. Because even now, we'll see them as Kenyan food. Because the chapati in Kenya is not the same as the chapati in India. And the samosa, or we'll also call sambusa, depending on what part of the country you're in, it won't match what's found in India. Ours is spiced ground beef, which is not as common. In India, it's more going to be vegetable-based.
Interesting. So these overlaps of different worldwide cuisines, all, well, a melting pot. For the United States is a melting pot of cuisines, and it appears that Africa is a melting pot, too.
Of course. I mean, once you look at ingredients, once people found something delicious, they shipped it all over the world, and everyone found great things to do with it. But I think what people see when they look through Africali is a look through the ingredient list, and 90% of the time be like, okay, I know that. I know cabbage, tomatoes, I know lentils, beef. It's just a different way of combining those ingredients you're going to find.
Yeah, most of all the foods you talked about were familiar. There were some that I had to really try to understand and get past my not being able to pronounce them correctly was really part of the problem, too. But thank you for that. You also brought up, which was very interesting to me, generationally, how your mother, your grandparents, you were influenced by all of these generations of cooks in your family, and you started cooking as a youngster.
Yeah, my mom, she's the eldest of 17 kids. So for her, cooking is nothing past a chore. So some moms are really into cooking, and they're like, get out of my kitchen. I need to focus on it. My mom was like, you want to make dinner? Have at it. She was so over the idea of having to cook. So she saw my interest in food and nurtured it. She taught me a few things. Like, I learned how to fold sambusas from my mom. But what she did is around...
What is that fold what?
Sambusas, which are also called samosas. So a little triangle pastry, mm-hmm. but thinner than the Indian one. And so I learned some things from her just by spending time with my mom in the kitchen. But it was around age 7. After Christmas, she got me an Easy Bake Oven, and I kept trying to feed my family dessert. And they were, one, don't like too sweet anything. So they're already, ugh, why did we do this? But she was like, okay, if you want to feed us, you're going to learn how to cook. So that following summer, she put me in a kids' cooking camp over in Berkeley. And so I stuck with doing kids' cooking classes all throughout my childhood.
I wish you would have included a photo of you in your Easy Bake Oven in the cookbook.
I don't know if it exists. I wish it existed.
I wonder how many other girls started their culinary career with Easy Bake Ovens. A lot of kids had them.
It gave so much confidence because they really made it foolproof. Mm-hmm. So you as a kid were making something that for whatever reason was edible, still shocked it was edible, but it really was a confidence builder. That plus the family going, whether they liked it or not.
So Easy Bake Oven and then culinary camp for kids. Mm-hmm. And then what was next?
I just kept with it. Like, I took cooking classes throughout high school. Like, I went to Monta Vista in Danville, and they had a cooking class that I was able to take throughout my years there. And then summers, when I wasn't in California, I'd be on my grandparents' ranch. And everything about a ranch is food.
Where were they?
In Kenya. So this is in the mountains of Kenya, around 2 hours south of the capital, Nairobi.
So when did you start going to Africa?
Since I was 6. So really young.
Can you recall what your impressions were of Africa as a 6-year-old?
Oh, it was freedom. Everything about life in, you know, cities is rules. Don't do this. Watch this way crossing the street. When you're on a ranch, there's no rules besides don't die. So I was enjoying the freedom.
You didn't feel threatened, overwhelmed by the new experience, just so different from an urban environment.
I think at that age, I didn't have the fear. So I saw a goat and I grabbed the goat. I wasn't scared of it. Funny enough, the only thing I was scared of were the chicks, the baby chickens, because they would follow me and it stressed me out. Where everything that ran away from me, I wasn't afraid of.
Now, how fortunate you got an immersion into your culture at such an early age. So many of us that come from different places around the world never have a chance to do what you did.
It was early enough where it really was so ingrained and became intertwined with how I learned about food and cooking. Because in California, I'm learning how to cook in what we'd the modern kitchen. But when I'm with my grandma at the time, she had a very traditional kitchen. So cooking started with gathering firewood, setting up the stove, which she had 3 stones that she would adjust closeness depending on the size of her pot. And she's, you know, using the firewood to adjust her heat levels. So really got the foundation of cooking in its simplest, purest form, spending time in Kenya, and then got to really play around in the California kitchen.
Would the language you would have heard growing up from your grandmother be Swahili?
For the language my family speaks with each other would be our tribal language, which is Maasai.
Maasai.
So Maasai is the language my family communicates with each other, but then the moment we leave our community and are communicating with other Kenyans, then they'll speak Swahili.
So when you went to Kenya as a 6-year-old, you had already had these sounds in your ears.
Yeah,
these were not foreign sounds to you.
No, I've never was able to fully speak back, but I understood. And so my grandma could boss me around her kitchen, and I knew what to do. I knew when to get out of the way.
Did your grandma, or does she, is she still with us, your grandma?
She is, and she's still waking up at, you know, sunrise, milking her cows.
Unbelievable. Does she have recipes that she likes, particularly in the cookbook?
So there's a few recipes in there I got from her, which was it was fun figuring out how to do that because, you know.
She didn't write down any recipes.
There's
did
no
she?
Writing of anything. There's most certainly no measuring of anything. But she is such a natural teacher. Once she understood what I wanted from her and for what, because we recorded everything. And that was a big part of the process of getting my grandma's recipes that are featured in the book. She explained not just how to do it, but why they're doing it, and told us before we had this new kitchen, this is how we used to do it. So it was a cooking lesson. It was a history lesson, all wrapped in one.
Oh, how beautiful. And what about your mom's contribution to the book?
My mom, as I said, does not have any love for cooking, but there is one particular dish.
How did you get it?
I got it because the kitchen was mine. I was interested in it, and it was an open space.
She said, take it. It's yours.
Oh, yeah. She was like, go do whatever. My seven-year-old can cook me dinner.
I know there's one recipe in here, the steak and capers.
Yes. Not a very Kenyan dish. But she came here to Marin County when she was 17. She had a host family, American host family.
In Marin. One of the highest income counties in the country.
I know. She went from ranch to Marin.
Oh,
and
wild.
It's a flavor combination she learned from that host family. And when she would cook for me is one of my favorite things she made growing up. And so I would request it if I got a, you know, good test score or anything. Like, Mom, can you make the steak? For her, it's one of the easiest recipes in the book. She was like, yeah. She was happy. I was so impressed by it. But for her, it was a quick dinner.
That's so sweet that you included that. Because it's not really traditional Kenyan or African fare. Steak and capers, is it? Or is it?
No. Well, you'll find a lot because it's a Dijon. You'll find Dijon used a lot in Senegal, which is not my culture, but a culture I very much enjoy their food. But for me, Africali was less of a regional cookbook, but a look into my kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
The flavors I love cooking, the flavors I grew up with, and knowing that as a person who grew up in California with parents from two different countries, all of these things were always at play,
yeah,
and showcasing how they work with each other.
I'm glad you didn't promote this as a fusion cookbook, that it's an Afri-Cali fusion.
I think fusion, there's like a little bit of like intentionality of like, I want to bring these things together, where for me, these things just have existed, and it's how I cooked. You have to make concessions, especially with families from two different countries. I learned how to make a Nigerian dish. It's so bold and flavorful, and I make that same dish for my Kenyan family. They said, that sauce, great, but don't cook beef like that ever again, because the wants and the techniques are so different. So I learned making everyone happy.
I spend a lot of time in the East Bay. I have a niece that lives there, so we're down in Alameda and Oakland quite frequently, and I really enjoy African food, and I've dined at a couple African restaurants in Oakland. There's probably five or six.
Mm-hmm.
Some from Kenya, some Nigeria, some Tanzania. They have all Western African cuisines and Eastern African cuisines. Growing up, were you able to go to an African-style restaurants in the East Bay, in Hayward,
oh, yeah,
or San Leandro, or places like that?
The Ethiopian-Eritrean restaurant in Oakland on Telegraph, Asmara, I've been eating at that restaurant, I like to say, before I was born. Because that's where my mom ate when she was pregnant with me, and that's where... Because I went to school in Berkeley, lived around Lake Merritt, so we'd pass it on the way home. So we ate there a lot.
Oh, okay. So even though your mom didn't like to cook, you loved to cook, and there were restaurant influences, so you got those tastes from an early age.
We were eating everything. My mom is very open with food, so we were eating. If she wasn't cooking, we were picking up food from Ethiopian. We were picking up food from Vietnamese, Afghan. We ate it all.
Yeah, ate it all. It was a truly melting pot upbringing of cuisine. The book is Africali, Africali, Recipes from My, is it Jikoni?
Jikoni, Swahili for kitchen, yeah.
Swahili for my kitchen. And Keanu Moju is our guest this morning. And we'll talk about the trajectory of this book, how it just kind of exploded off the chart. It seemed like everybody was talking about this book, and it was, at least, was it last summer, as I recall?
Yeah, August of last year.
August, because I remembered you were at Omnivore in San Francisco, mm-hmm. and Cesar Chavez, and usually we have a lot of authors coming up and have for years from Omnivore to join us during the week or talking with them, and somehow we just couldn't connect with you. I remember either talking with your publishers or something. I don't remember. When you're on book tour, it's always crazy.
It was our very first event, too, Omnivore. It was stop number one.
That was the kickoff?
Yeah.
Well, I know it's late, but better late than never, because this book has legs. It's going to continue to sell. We'll be back and chat with Keanu. And by the way, one of you will win an autographed copy of this book at the end of the show. I'm Steve Garner in the KSRO Kitchen.
Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO, on FM at 103.5 in Santa Rosa and Windsor, and now at 96.9 in Petaluma.
The Sonoma County Legal Line. Get answers to your legal questions on a wide variety of issues. Real answers from Satare Law, a personal injury law firm powerhouse.
I was involved in a car accident sustaining injuries. I was not at fault. Should I hire a personal injury attorney?
Personal injuries can be emotionally and financially devastating. Daniel Satare is an attorney who specializes in personal injury law with extensive experience in auto, bicycle, and motorcycle accidents, wrongful death, and more.
My partner suffered spinal injuries in a car accident. And we don't have health insurance. Can we get the other insurance company to pay for upcoming treatments and lost wages?
Daniel Satare and his team will guide you through the challenging issues of a personal injury case, always protecting your legal rights. Get answers to your legal questions on a variety of issues. Real answers from law offices like Satare Law. Find out if you need a lawyer and make an informed decision. Go to KSRO.com now and click on the Sonoma County Legal Line.
Simpson Sheet Metal is helping local kids become million-word readers through Read on Sonoma. The percentage of participating students has dramatically increased over the last 3 years, now with 1,461 second through sixth graders from seven elementary schools. On average, each participating school's fourth graders are reading at a fourth grade level, over 1.5 school years above the California average. Here's Barbie Simpson, owner of Simpson Sheet Metal.
One of the things I cherish most in my life is my grandkids. Spending time with them gives me such great joy. Now, reread their school books and their weekly vocabulary words along with chapter books. As they've grown, I've seen their reading skills and comprehension increase, along with their interest in the world around them. Being a grandparent is one of the greatest joys of my life.
Children who learn to read at grade level by third grade are more likely to graduate from high school and overall do better in life. Simpson Sheet Metal and Read on Sonoma, dedicated to improving children's lives in Sonoma County. ReadOnSonoma.org.
At American Ag Credit, we're more than just a lender, because you need more to support your operation. With products like crop insurance, rural home loans, a team of agriculture analysts, and more, we offer the financial strength and expertise you need to grow your business. For more than 100 years, we've proudly served America's farmers and ranchers as a cooperative in the farm credit system. We're with you when it matters, and we'll continue to be for what's ahead. American Ag Credit. Your future grows here. Visit agloan.com for more.
A guaranteed career as an officer with the California Highway Patrol is waiting for you. You can make a difference and enjoy a starting salary of $122,500 plus comprehensive benefits. Apply today at chpmadeformore.com and become part of the strongest team in California.
News anywhere. Stream KSRO from your smartphone or smart speaker. KSRO, Sonoma County's News Talk, FM, AM, and online.
I'm KSRO's Jeff Woodworth with Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast. Following a fairly cloudy and cool overnight, we can look to mostly sunny skies, giving us daytime highs in the high 60s and low 70s. In the evening, generally clear skies should leave us with overnight lows in the mid to high 40s. Looking ahead, temps are expected to hang around the mid 80s all throughout next week. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 96.9 KSRO.
In the KSRO Kitchen, I'm Steve Garner with special guest today, Keanu Moju. She is the author of Africali, A-F-R-I-C-A-L-I, combination of African and California cooking, recipes from my Jikoni. And if you don't learn any other African today, you'll learn that Jikoni means kitchen.
In Swahili, yeah. In Swahili. The book is full of a lot of Swahili. I feel like a lot of folks haven't learned Swahili since they watched The Lion King. So you'll get at least 10 new terms from the book.
I'm outed. I'm one of those people. But that really, I think, introduced more people to the culture of Africa than anything in the history of American cinema.
Gosh, we need new stuff then.
We do need. It's been a long time, haven't we? Did you see the play, The Lion King?
I have not. Yeah. I always seem to miss everything that hits Broadway.
Oh, it was really. It came to San Francisco. It was quite wonderful in San Francisco. I was really thrilled to know about your experience in London. How did you get to London from Oakland?
So it started undergrad. I did my bachelor's at Syracuse, so upstate New York. And Syracuse, for my program, which was a communications degree, they have a London abroad with their own campus. So I did the semester abroad, loved it. So by the time I decided, I'm like, okay, I want to work in publishing, I only looked at publishing degrees in London and ended up going there for grad school. So that was London part two.
Wow. And did you do culinary in London at all?
So with the publishing master's, I focused it on food media specifically and then did internships at a food magazine, at a cooking school, and even did a pop-up. After I handed in my thesis, I couldn't do it while doing it. But once the thesis was done, you had like a little bit left on the visa. So I did a taco pop-up at a pub.
Taco pop? Taco pop-up?
Yeah.
How was it embraced? Did people enjoy it?
Oh, yeah. Could they pronounce it? No. Everyone's saying, I'd like to get a taco, please.
Oh, that's very good.
Thank you.
So you have very good. You have a flair for language. A taco, please, from Taco Place. And then coming back to London, did you come back to Oakland area or to L.A.?
No, I went straight to, actually, when I finished undergrad, went to L.A., left for London, then back to L.A. when I got a job as a video producer for Tasty, which is a food channel for BuzzFeed.
Right, and that did very well for you.
Yeah, this was at the time where we were all on Facebook, but when you would open Facebook and all you would see were these hands cooking from overhead, cooking these 60-second recipes. Uh-huh. That had started when I was in the middle of my master's degree. So when I was looking at, okay, where within food media makes sense to go, it was like wildfire how present these cooking videos were and how people were learning from them. So it seemed like that was the spot I needed to be at the time. So that's where I went.
We want to just make sure that people know that you are going to be appearing live today at the Sonoma Valley Library of all places. And I'm on the library's list, so I got a press release about this. Hey, Steve, we know you've had a lot of authors from our library series. Maybe Keanu Moju would be of interest. And I said, what? She's going to be at the Sonoma Valley Library, not Santa Rosa. It starts at 2 o'clock today?
2 o'clock. We're essentially doing a live cooking show. So I'll be cooking up a dish from the book, and we'll do a book signing. I think they have some books to give away, too.
Well, you can go to the library website, Sonoma County Library. As of this morning, there were seats available. I don't know about now. But if you're in the Valley, you're heading over to Sonoma Valley. Why not stop in? It's going to be about an hour or so?
Yeah. Well, there we'll have a little bites for people. I'm very much like, you know, I'll just walk right in, whether there's tickets or not, come on.
But see, that's you. I mean, you're not a bureaucrat. I'm sure there's fire regulations about how many people can fit in. Is it outdoors or indoors?
It's indoors, but I think we can always make space.
Okay. If you can't get through to the library website, Keanu's saying, come on by. If you really want to see me, meet me, talk with me, buy a book. Come on over, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. And you say bites. Is your mom responsible for setting up the bites now while you're on the air?
We're going to be doing a recipe from the book, the lentil nuggets. But I also might have made a few dozen chai cookies this morning.
Oh, that was figured prominently in the dessert section.
Yeah.
Did you come up with that recipe?
Yeah. I mean, it's really... love a chocolate chip cookie. So it's a chocolate chipless cookie with a lot of Kenyan chai spice.
Oh, and are you a big chai spice girl? Do you like chai?
I've grown to be. As a kid, I could not stand it. My grandma had to make me hot chocolate while everyone else drank chai. But now I am part of, I've grown up and I'm with, because Kenyans drink chai minimum 3 cups a day.
Wow, it's got some caffeine in it, doesn't it?
It does, but we make it very milky, so I feel like it balances it out.
Sort of kid-friendly.
Yeah.
Lentil nuggets. I'm looking at the recipe now. This is West African. It's a bean fritter, and it looks pretty easy to make. Am I wrong about that?
It is. It's based off of a dish called akara, which is traveled so far and wide. We were just in Brazil, and they have a dish based off of it called acarajé, where it's typically made with black-eyed peas. But I opted for red lentils because you have to skin each bean, and skinning beans is kitchen work I am not built for.
Too much.
Too much. So it's a West African dish, but being, you know, someone who has a Kenyan mother, lentils were a thing that's always been in the pantry. So it was an easy, obvious swap for me. It wasn't very intentional. I was like, I want to make this, but I'm not doing that. And lentils were around. And so you soak them until they're nice and soft, puree them in a blender food processor, add some onions, some habanero, season it, and you can add fresh herbs. It's a great, you know, those herbs are looking a little wilty. Chuck them in there, scoop and plop into some shallow oil and fry. It's like I like to say falafel's West African cousin.
Marvelous. And you're going to be doing this live?
Yeah.
You and your mom.
She'll be there, but she doesn't want to cook if I don't make her.
I got it. So is that in the veggie section, the first section of the book?
Yeah, the veggie chapter, chapter one.
Okay, I like the charred cabbage. I'm a big charred cabbage person, so I'm glad to see that you brought that in. Cabbage is finally getting the respect that it deserves.
I didn't even know until recently that cabbage was hated on. Cabbage has always been beloved in our family.
Me too. Well, in any soul food restaurant, too, I always get the side of cabbage or collards, one of the two. And then cauliflower florets is the first recipe in that veggie section.
Oh, the bhajias.
Yeah.
Yes. That's a spin on a Kenyan street food, where typically it's potatoes, thicker than a potato chip, but you dip it in a chickpea batter, a seasoned chickpea batter, and fry it.
Mm-hmm.
Where instead of the potato, I use the cauliflower, not honestly because I love cauliflower, but because of the shape.
Oh.
Because of the ridges, it can catch more of that batter, and so you're getting more flavor.
I love that.
Per bite.
And it seems Indian style. I don't know why, but when anytime I hear about
it's one of our, I'll call it our collabs. It's a Kenyan Indian collab.
And you have a little cornstarch in there also, in that batter, the chickpea flour and the cornstarch coating.
Just to help everything stay on. That, I think that's the battle with any battered vegetable, is like, how do you make it light and airy, but keep it from sliding off before it hits the oil?
Another good vegetable recipe. And, you know, we're right in the summer almost. Zucchinis everywhere in the market. You have a zucchini and feta.
Bhajia.
Using chickpea flour. Mm-hmm. Again, very popular in African cuisine is chickpea flour.
Yeah. I mean, legumes in every way, shape, or form, dried, fresh. It adds flavor. It's functional when you're thinking of the chemistry and what you need it to do. And I think it does way more than just a regular AP flour, and it doesn't get as gummy.
Would you talk a little bit about the Jikoni archive that you set up? What is that?
So it's really when I first started producing, I did a project. It was back when I was at BuzzFeed, where we shot the food for my uncle's wedding. And for this wedding, we're feeding around 800 people, cooking it all on the ranch.
Wait, you did this?
No, we as a family, the
family
host of the wedding.
Uh-huh. You didn't hire a catering company?
They do hire a caterer to do the sides, but the meat will come from the ranch, and they'll wake up right before sunup to start slaughtering, and because it's a lot of meat to cook for 800 people. And so I was like, we got to film this. And as while we were filming, my mom's cousin came up to me, and it was very clear. This videos you're making for people in America to see what we're doing, come back and do some for us. And I'm confused because I'm like, you're here. What do you need these videos for? And then he said, look closer. Because it's a very, there's a lot of people involved, especially to butcher down a cow. And he was like, you see how the old men are standing over the shoulders of the young guys telling them what to do? They shouldn't be there. They should be sitting down relaxing. But these young guys, they live in the city. They're only in the countryside in the weekends. They went to boarding school. They spent so less time at home. They don't have the same knowledge that your grandpa's generation does. So when they're all gone, the information will go with them. And it really changed my perspective because I spent my summers in Kenya and I thought, me growing up in California, I need to do the catch up. Those of us who are born to foreign families abroad, we're the ones who need that information. But the world's changing everywhere. And so as Maasai people, as a tribe, we're seen by a lot of folks as a very preserved culture. And here we are, two generations away from losing so much. And so that really put a fire under me where I'm like, no matter what work I do, we started Jokoni Archive as a project where we can start documenting these food traditions that have only been passed down orally because we just haven't done. We don't have cookbooks. We don't have any of that. And once those generations go, that information will go with them.
Are these accessible to the public, this archive that you've put together?
So we started by just producing videos with our community. We put them on our YouTube channel. But we are going to start later in the year fundraising so we can start building curriculum, culinary curriculum around these, because not just recipes, it's knowing of what these ingredients are. What, there's so much knowledge in food beyond how to cook it.
Yeah, that's just the end result. Yeah. It's all what leads up to it.
So yeah, it's a big project, and I think it'll be a series of many projects, but it's definitely something that I wanted to start the foundation of and see how I can continue to tie it into my work, because unfortunately there's a time constraint on how you can extract information.
That's so true. So these are available, at least we can take a look at these at YouTube at
yeah.
this point?
One of the videos we did with my grandma is on our channel, oh. Coco's Cabbage. It was hard work to translate it because she only speaks Maasai in the video. But even that part where, you know, documenting language, there's so much. But you can check out us on YouTube,
Jokoni. So we go to YouTube. So would I put Jokoni Archive?
Yeah.
And then take me to the video?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll take a quick break. Keanu Moju is with us. Her last name is spelled M-O-J-U. Our cookbook is called Africali, A-F-R-I-C-A-L-I, Recipes from My Jokoni. Jokoni is Swahili for kitchen.
Yes.
And one of you will win an autographed copy of this beautiful debut book at the end of the show. I'm Steve Garner in the KSRO Kitchen.
Hi, it's Dennis from the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market at Luther Burbank Center. I'd like to talk a bit about our market. Sure, we have great coffee, crepes, salsa, sausage, fruits, veggies, crafts, and much, much more. But to me, it's what you can't buy that makes the market special, and that's the people. You may have heard me speak with Steve on Saturday mornings on Garden Talk about buying potatoes from Tom or mushrooms from Barbara, forgetting to mention their business names. This is due to the relationships developed with those who grow the food we eat, something you can't get at the big supermarket chains. The vendors are a great resource to help create the perfect meal for you and your family. Bring your kids, grab a bite and something to drink, and shop the farmers market voted the best farmers market in Sonoma County 2 years running in the Press Democrats Readers Poll. We've been doing this for 50 years. We must be doing something right. So come and visit us at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
In the KSRO Kitchen, if you're just joining us,
voted
it is
best in the North Bay by the Bohemian. Paradise Pet Resort is the top choice for your furry friend.
We really need a getaway. When was the last time we took a vacation? Just the two of us.
right before we got Buckley.
I know, it's so tough to leave him behind. Who's going to spoil him like we do?
No worries. You can take that vacation. At Paradise Pet Resorts, your pet gets the royal treatment while you're away. With webcams, you can check in and watch your furry friend's wagging tail and playful antics all day long. Your pet gets playtime, socializing, belly rubs, ear scratches, and more. Plus, daycare helps burn off that extra energy, so they'll be just as relaxed as you.
This is exactly what we needed. Let's check in on Buckley.
Those webcams are a lifesaver.
Book your pet stay today. Boarding, daycare, and grooming at Paradise Pet Resorts in Rohnert Park and Santa Rosa. Visit ParadisePetResorts.com.
Paradise Pet Resorts.
Are you ready to rock North Bay?
Because the next generation of young shredders are plugging in strats, grabbing a mic, and cranking amps up to 11 on stages across Sonoma. This is Jason Walsh of North Bay Biz Magazine, and this month, we cast our strobe on local music schools helping kids form bands, learn cool songs, and perform before a live audience. The only rule? No Stairway to Heaven. For those about to rock, we salute you at NorthBayBiz.com. Freebird!
Does your business need advertising but cash flow is a challenge? Then contact us at the My Sonoma Deals program. It's a cashless program based on trade. Are you a restaurant, a golf course, a boutique, car wash, bowling alley, jewelry store, or florist? There are so many categories. Contact My Sonoma Deals now to find out if your business qualifies. Just go online to MySonomaDeals.com and click on contact. That's MySonomaDeals.com and click on contact.
Well, this 45 minutes is just blistering by. I can't believe we've talked this much, and we've just got into the cookbook with Keanu Moju. We're only down to the flatbreads, rice, and friends chapter, but that was just stunning, the chapati chapter, the introduction to chapati, because I only assumed that only Indian-style chapati existed, but you set me straight on that.
Yeah, Kenyan chapati, it's the measure of your culinary skills. If any dish in Kenyan food is, it's chapas.
That's it.
Oh, yeah.
And I love this line that you write. This was so funny that you were in a group with in a Kenyan household with all these Maasai old ladies speaking so loudly. I just burst out laughing about that.
My grandma's kitchen hits audio levels I did not know could exist.
And what did you attribute that to? Why were you thinking that they were talking so loudly?
They are. They're very loud.
Well, to keep people away or to alert people?
I think they're just impassioned, because for us, the cooking, it's very, you know, it's old world. The cooking is the social hour. They're gossiping. They're talking about their lives, their kids, while making dinner. They are having a good time.
I thought they maybe, since they're, you said older women, maybe they were hearing impaired, and that's why they were talking so loudly.
No,
maybe
that's not. Just the level.
Jollof rice. Mm-hmm. You see that in every African restaurant. That's a foundation.
West African food. If it's called jollof rice, if it's typically English-speaking West Africa, if it's French-speaking, it's either tabouglien from Senegal, or riz au gras, like fatty rice in Francophone West Africa.
But it always has the same ingredients and technique?
No. I've been very much pro everyone needs to change the name of it, because they are all so different. I think folks don't get to appreciate the differences, because they're like, oh, I've had jollof. But if you have jollof from Ghana, it's going to be very different than if you get one from Liberia, from Senegal, from Nigeria. The differences are... they can be really, really vast. But on foundation, it's rice cooked in a stew that I think almost always has tomato mm-hmm. in it. And then everything else is different from there.
How important is berbere in the African cuisine?
So berbere is going to be found in Eastern Africa, in Ethiopia, Eritrea, primarily. It is such a foundational spice. So having grown up in the East Bay, eating a lot of Ethiopian food, that spice blend, it's a blend, smoky, has a little bit of heat, to me is a great way of getting that taste of Ethiopian food without maybe always spending the hours it takes to cook to make those like really rich stews.
This was the spice blend in your kitchen.
Oh, it's once I found out that certain Ethiopian restaurants had little markets you could buy it from, I cannot keep it in stock.
Okay. That's Berbere braised short ribs and that beef, lamb, and pork. That I put it 2 stars by that because I love short ribs, but I never thought to use Berbere seasoning in there. What was that? Oh, gosh, I got to find my notes because this was so interesting about the clarified butter, the ghee, infused with cardamom seeds.
Yes.
What? Talk about that. I'd never heard of such a thing.
So that's another one because we'll use ghee in Kenyan cooking, but the idea of spicing it is another thing borrowed from Ethiopian. They have a dish called nidakibe, and every cook does theirs differently. But cardamom is a spice I've found in my kitchen maybe like from college on, and I love it in my savory and my sweet. And so I just do mine with cardamom, a little bit of oregano, and I'm very lazy with it. I will buy the jar of ghee, dump it into a pot, add the spices, keep it low, and then once it's cool, it goes right back in that jar.
Mm-hmm. Boy, I love that. Another use for Berbere is the brown sugar bacon. Her eyes lit up for that one.
I mean, seasoning your bacon is something that I don't think enough of us do.
And the Berbere braised pork tacos, another one. So this comes up quite a lot. And then we're down to the sweets and the drinks and that carrot sheet cake. I don't know, maybe it was the 10-year-old in me that said, I've got to make that. It sounded really good. You use pineapple on it, too.
Yeah, the baking chapter, this is the one thing my publisher was like, oh, there's more in here than I thought. And I was like, well, you know, it started with baking, the Easy Bake Oven. But baking, for me, was the first place where I really built my confidence in the kitchen. And so the baking chapter is, I think, the most near and dear to my heart because desserts aren't culturally typical in a lot of sub-Saharan African cooking. The only dish that's, I think, you'll find anywhere is mandazi, which is like a donut. Every country has a donut.
Well, I put 2 stars by the green mango olive oil cake. That to me just knocked me out. I'm going to make that. It's a great idea.
It's fun. You get to add, because olive oil cake is such a great foundation and you can add so much to it. But that came about where, just as a grocery shopper, every time I went to the market, those mangoes were hard as stone and bright green. And I'm like, what am I going to do with this? And
well, you nailed it.
Bake it is the answer. You bake the hard mangoes.
And the dirty chai tiramisu. How can you resist a name like that?
Yeah, dirty chai. No one, because a lot of folks are like, why is it dirty? I'm like, it's a drink. It's a coffee drink. Chai with a little espresso. So adding in and mixing that chai, tea, coffee, little spice into making a tiramisu.
And don't miss the garlic ginger paste. Your favorite number today, would you please tell me what it is between 1 and 10?
Oh, 1 and 10. Gosh, that's hard. My favorite number is 11. So would that make it 2?
2. You want caller number 2?
Yeah.
Caller number 2 at 707-636-1350. Win an autographed copy of Africali recipes from My Jaconi, my special guest this morning, Keanu Moju. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
And have fun at the Sonoma Valley Library. If you're out that way, folks, stop in at 2 o'clock and meet her in person. You're just bigger than life. So thank you so much for coming up to Santa Rosa to sit in with me. It was great meeting you.
It was a pleasure.
Stick around. Great news following. There's more to come in about 45 seconds or so. Clark Wolf at the table, and we'll be back next week. And we've got a really good show for you next week. I may as well tell you, we're going to be tasting dumplings from a really good, cool new Chinese restaurant out in West County. Don't miss that. John Ash will be back next Saturday. Thanks for listening. I'm Steve Garner in the KSRO Kitchen. News is coming up next, so you may want to turn off the news and then turn back on at 5 after. Bye-bye.